All right, folks, I'm going to call this meeting of the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission for June 17th, 2020 to order. Put the dog away, turn off your house phone, your cell phone, and then let's all stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. Excuse me. All right, Mrs. Lambert, roll call, please.
Tom Roslinski.
Here.
Tom Gazdecki.
Here.
Anthony Broadnecks.
Here.
Derek Nimitz.
Here.
Dave Castellanos.
Here.
Ron Ware.
Here.
Robert Ochi.
Here.
LaVon Whitaker. William Baker.
Yes. All right, we got a quorum. Next up is the approval of the minutes from May 20th, 2020. Anybody have any modifications, corrections, motions? What say you?
Nope. So, Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion to approve the meeting minutes from May 20th, 2020.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Did I get a second, Mrs. Lambert?
Second.
Yes.
Second. Thank you. Any discussion? Be there none, all those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
They're out there forever. Next up is the chairman's report. Again, thank you everybody for your help in maintaining a $275 million man-made flood control project. Even though we don't have the, curling up pictures of what happened in 2008, I think we all know what those look like. And if you don't do the ongoing maintenance to the infrastructure of our community, those are the types of things that happen. So we're far better off now as we've engaged the community in a truly economic development type of a program to be able to be better prepared when we deal with Mother Nature, who, by the way, is awesome. So never lose sight of the fact that that's what this is about. And we have to worry about the 10 gallons of water in our 5-gallon bucket. So as we move on, I'm going to change up the agenda a little bit due to some time constraints and try to meet some of our community folks that we do work with. I'm going to move the presentations for the watershed applications up. So first being the Town of Dyer on a Heart Ditch Stage 2 work. Is there somebody to speak on this? While we're waiting for that, Mr. Repay, can you give us a little insight on what we're dealing with here?
Okay, it's going to be Thomas Burke, I believe, and I think he's going to have someone with him, about the location of the project is just to the west of Sheffield, behind the hospital, as it approaches state line. So from basically state line all the way back through to Sheffield. They're doing a brand new bridge at that location, the county is. And as a part of that, the town has decided that they would like to do a 2-stage ditch to alleviate some of the water that comes into the system from Will County and that affects that immediate neighborhood. That's my 10-cent version of the presentation.
Okay.
I see Thomas is there. I don't. Maybe he's at the other meeting. Let's see. I'm going to text him here to see if he can. This is the joys of Zoom media here.
And hopefully this is the last one of these we do.
Yeah, I'm hoping the July 8th meeting is going to be okay. Otherwise, if he doesn't respond, we may need to go to, I see Matt Lakes there for Maryville. I don't know where Thomas went.
Well, good thing he asked for, getting moved around.
Well, true. I just try to call him.
Maybe we get there too quick or what?
If you want, we can do the Meadowdale, move things along, and then when Thomas comes back, he can
Yeah, or we'll just move him to the end. All right, so let's go down and we'll work on the next one. So Maryville, Meadowdale Lateral Flood Water Storage Basins. Is there somebody to speak on this one?
Yeah, it's myself and Darren Olson from Christopher Burke Engineering. This was a project that you guys had graciously funded the engineering for.
I'm sorry, could you please introduce yourself and do all this stuff? You know how this stuff works. Sure.
This is Matt Lake. I'm the executive director of Maryville Stormwater Utility.
Thank you.
And I think Darren's on mute there.
Sorry, yes, this is Darren Olson, Christopher Burke Engineering, and I do not know where Thomas is at.
Okay, go ahead, guys, you're up.
So, so this is a project, like I stated, that you guys had graciously funded the engineering for, and ultimately, we're looking at two storage basins. We're looking to construct, due to cost constraints, one at a time. Ultimately, the entire complex would be 45 acre feet of storage. So we're looking at the North Basin. We're requesting 50% cost share. Our engineer's estimate is $853,000. So we're requesting $426,000 to cost share on this project. Darren, do you want to interject with some of the technical aspects of the project?
Sure, absolutely. Let me, if you don't mind, I could share my screen real quick here because I do have a couple slides that'll refresh our memory on this. I'm not sure if I'm able to share that or not. It says I'm unable to share screen.
Cody, do you have to allow him to do it?
Trying to figure out how to, if I can do that. Let's see.
Darren, this is Bill. Is there anything that you're wanting to show that was in the package that you submitted, or are these things outside of that?
These are generally just background exhibits that were in presentations we've previously made, but not in the packet that we submitted.
Okay.
Oh, it's working now. I got it. Right.
Cool. Okay, you got it?
Yes.
Okay.
And so I just...
Perfect.
I put together a few slides here real quick. So we're on Meadowdale Lateral, otherwise known as Turkey Creek number lateral 6. We're all familiar with the flooding that has occurred here. So just for a quick location map on the right, we're in the headwaters of Turkey Creek. You could see this sub-watershed location up there on the right. We've provided this slide before to talk about the drainage. So all this water is coming out of Hobart and unincorporated Lake County, coming south through through the town of Maryville, and then making its way onto Turkey Creek. So the drainage area here is about 7.2 square miles. The town, as you're aware, back in 2014 did a large stormwater master plan, and this was the highest ranking sub-watershed within the town. There's a tremendous number of residential structures that are impacted, almost 450 during the 100-year event. We have structures in the floodway, numerous roads that are impacted by flooding and repetitive loss structures. So this is really one of the first projects in a multi-step plan to alleviate flooding that was identified by the town in the stormwater master plan. It was also identified in the comprehensive watershed plan. You can see here these two stars that are highlighted here are the general location of our proposed flood storage project that Matt had talked about briefly. And this is getting into a few more of the specifics. Now we've zoomed in on a more granular level. The areas shown in purple are the two flood storage basins. And as Matt had indicated, the northern smaller one is the one that we're, both of these have gone through full engineering and permitting. thanks to funding by Little Cal. But the northern one, the smaller one, is the one that we're proposing to construct as part of this project. Together, they have 45 acre feet of flood water storage, which is 14 million gallons. So a lot of flood storage, as well as wetland basins for water quality, habitat, in addition to that flood reduction. So again, it's the one up here on the northern side, the smaller one that we're pursuing construction dollars for. And my last slide here just talks about the progress to date. And we've seen this slide before. Started way back when with getting permission from the school and an easement, a lot of intergovernmental coordination with all agencies, including permitting through DNR, we've got permits through the Corps. We've received permits from the surveyor's office now and then Salt Water Conservation District. So essentially the project is fully designed, fully permitted, and ready to go. And as Matt had indicated, the Northern Basin is the one that we're seeking 50% funding for. And that is all I have as for the presentation.
Thank you. Mr. Lake, anything else for that?
Other than we have funding secured to move forward with putting this project out for bid.
Would the town be, and I know we know this, and I'm just going to verbalize it anyway, to be comfortable in going out as the contractor or providing the contracts to get this work taken care of?
Yes.
All right. And then when do you see that next phase of this happening? The South Basin.
Second Basin. We would anticipate possibly next year getting that one constructed. So
Now, was that engineering done as a part of what we had already taken care of as well? So that's already fully engineered as well?
That's correct.
Okay. And then is this engineering water going to go north to south, right? Because everything's going down to Turkey Creek, correct?
Correct.
Is this going to create any problems in that area by having, or is it going to help?
No, it's not going to create any problems. I know that. It's just going to help the area. It's going to store that water, park it in these basins, eventually both of them, allow that water to travel through and slowly release back into the system.
So I like it. So you're doing the upstream thing first and then coming down as it gets closer to the creek.
Correct.
All right. Gentlemen on the board, any questions on this one?
Hey, Matt, if you guys bid this thing this year, do you think you'll start this year?
Yes, that's what we would anticipate.
And what's the timetable of getting it done?
If we start this fall, we'll be done this fall. So okay. It's
really, how long are they anticipating it taking?
Months of construction.
I would say maybe a couple months of construction.
You said it's all permitted and everything, right? Because that's close to a number of residential areas. Actually, both of those basins are.
Correct. Yes. It is
So theoretically, man, if we gave you guys approval for this year, it's all systems are go.
Correct. Correct. We're shovel ready at this point.
Matt, this is Ron Ware. In your estimate, it says it's dated November 18th, 2019. Do you see now that we're, you know, those numbers were probably put together a year ago, maybe? Do you see those numbers being higher now just as regular escalations?
Again, until we put it out for bid, we won't know. In terms of costs.
Thanks, Ron. I have a similar question regarding scope, actually cost creep. You know, in the event that either the estimates come back higher or as you did the work, you have some changes that necessitate, you know, additional costs. Is the town prepared to pay over and above 50% of the costs?
Yes, yes.
With the North Basin being the first one, on the application, it has 489 impacted structures. And this project, just to be clear, is only getting 50 of the structures will be provided with a 100-year protection.
Correct.
When and if you do the South Basin, does that get all 439, or is just this first piece of the pie?
This is just the first piece of the pie. There are multiple projects that would be needed to get all of those structures protected for the 100-year event.
And to just also, as Darren had alluded to, a first piece of the pie, we studied the north part, north watershed, including areas in Gary, and we identified parcels for upland storage up there. We have since secured 18 parcels off of tax sale, just so you're aware, in Gary. So I'm working with Lake County Parks. Eventually, we will lead them over to Lake County Parks to make a wetland slash detention slash nature preserve complex up in that area. That is the goal. We got several more parcels to secure, but as they come up on tax sale, we're trying to pick them off that way. So just so you know, so there's a lot more that we have planned out other than this. But
this is the remaining. You're asking for the 50% of whatever it comes out to. Is the funding source on the other 50% only from Merrillville, or is there a request going to the county or anywhere else?
It's just in my construction fund from our stormwater fees.
And then just to clarify Ron's question, the $2.5 million between the north and the south, or $2.6 million, is getting 50 structures out of the 100-year or more than 50?
Both of them would get more than the 50, but you would need to do, there's other projects identified in the stormwater master plan that would need to address the remaining.
Whatever the number is. So the first one, does the first one alone get 50, or is it not, have you not calculated or tabulated it in that way?
I'm sorry, broke up a little bit. Could you ask that again?
Sure. The question is whether you've tabulated these projects in such a way that you could identify or quantify whether the North Basin gets all 50 by itself, or is it sort of a combination deal, you know?
So our tabulations did do them separately, so that's why we listed 50 here for the North Basin. It would be additional for the South Basin.
Okay, I got you. Since we're only talking about the north, you just talked about 50.
Correct.
Thank you.
All right, I got no read of the room, so help me out. I'm still looking at Darren's big screen, so I don't see anybody else. I need to know whether or not y'all got more questions, because we're going to move this thing along.
No further questions.
No questions.
No question.
Yeah. No question. If you do, as you help us with this last one, just like raise your hand if you want to say something, so at least Jody can pick that up and help us move that along. Now we've got this request. This is a repay. I'm of the opinion they're asking for almost $500,000. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, gentlemen, what say you? Jody, can you undo the commissioners, please?
This is part of what we've already agreed to as far as the engineering. It doesn't sound crazy. We could actually, if we wanted to, go ahead and approve this tonight as far as getting things moving, and then the paperwork can follow along. But that's just my opinion.
Is that a statement or is that a motion?
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we go ahead and approve the $426,000 for the Merrillville.
I love
it. Hold on a sec. I've got to bring it up. I want to make sure it's right.
Here, you want my cheaters?
I got those.
All right. I guess, Tom, I agree with the motion, but do we need clarification? Does it need to be 50% funding since we don't know the total, or are we going to?
We're going to go with the dollar amount that has been requested.
Not to exceed, right?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a motion to approve at the dollar amount, which is, I don't have all the paperwork.
426-625.
I second the motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Go like this if you have something.
Mr. Chair, so we're we doing all presentations and approvals, or how will we proceed?
By project.
Case by case.
I didn't hear what he said.
Are we trying to approve them all tonight or case by case?
Case by case, but that's just
me. Yeah, it's just Meadowdale Lateral. Right? That's motion correct. And a second. All right, Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Wyszlinski.
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki. I didn't hear you, Tom.
Tom, you're muted.
You're muted.
My system just went down. Now it's back. Yes.
Okay. Anthony Brodnix.
No.
Derek Nimitz. I think we've lost him.
Oh, what are we going to do now that he's gone?
Dave Castellanos.
Bring him back.
Yes.
Coming back in. I'll go to Dave. Dave Castellanos, yes.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ochi.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes.
And Derek.
Yes.
Yes. Yep, I'm back. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's keep rolling while we guys got the Maryville folks up. So next up is Taft Place, Bon Air Lake Outlet.
If I could share my screen, let's see here. Try to figure this out here.
So have we seen this before, Mr. Lake?
It was at the advisory board meeting, and I don't believe you have seen it before.
Okay. As you're looking for that, can you talk and kind of give us an idea in town where this is located?
Yeah, this is Bon Air Lake, which is about 67th and Taft Place. We're essentially looking at low-hanging fruit. This is also part of our stormwater master plan, as well as your watershed plan. And essentially what we're doing is we're replacing the existing 48-inch CMP culvert, which is in good condition. We're not replacing it because it's in bad condition. What we're doing is we're going to replace and lower it 8 inches and add a 4 by 5 foot concrete box. And we're going to gain 9.5 acre feet of storage just by doing that. So, like I said, this is low-hanging fruit. So we're looking at a 50% cost share. Again, engineering is 100% done. Permitting is 100% done, except we're waiting for approval from the Lake County Surveyor's Office. We submit an application. We got a favorable review from their engineers. So we anticipate that will be fine. And we're waiting on one Indian American water line to be relocated. So I can't find a file right here. Let's see, files. Yeah, it's not coming up on my screen here.
So Matt, while you're looking for that, you're anticipating, I may have got that confused. The engineers said it was favorable. You're just waiting for the drainage board, which is the Lake County Commissioners, just to formally sign off on it, correct? Correct.
That's correct, yes.
Hey, Matt, this is Thomas Burke. It was approved this morning.
Okay.
All right, so let me say, so the ask here is for $74,572, which is 50%. So I like the match. And then it's one and done then.
Correct. And as soon as the water lines move, we are ready to go to bid. We have funding secured for it. And again, we're asking for 50% cost share.
And this is, now is the culvert underneath a street or is?
Yeah, it goes underneath Taft Place. Essentially, this is lateral 7. So it's a Lake County regulated drain. Bonner Lake was a peat bog that was carved out when the development was constructed. And we're looking at about 22 structures. We got a number of people that are in the 100-year flood zone there, so we're trying to lower the BFE and then do a LOMA to try and get the residents some relief in terms of not only from the drainage aspect, but from paying high-risk flood insurance as well.
How long has the pipe been in place, Matt?
What was that?
Am I still breaking up? Okay, I'm going to go slower. How long has the pipe been in place?
The existing culvert has been there, I believe, since 2002, somewhere in there. So it's not that it's an old falling apart culvert. We're doing this specifically just for storage.
Well, one of the challenges that we've had, Matt, is projects that are coming in pertaining to subdivision issues that might have been overlooked or not attended to by the developers at the time. Would this be one of those?
I would say, I mean, this was built in the 60s, this whole area. This is not something that was done, modern day with, the ordinances and detention requirements and all that. This was built before the town was a town. So this whole area was constructed in that manner. So again, go ahead. You there?
Hello?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. So again, this is an older, again, just like Meadowdale and all that, these are neighborhoods that were built before you even had detention or any requirements for detention. So those are the areas that we have focused on, are the older neighborhoods in town that were planned like today's subdivisions. So so that's typically where we have a lot of our drainage issues are in the older subdivisions and neighborhoods.
So I don't know if you could see this with my flag, but this is the page that has the lakes overview. Is this the flooding that happened in 2008, or is this a 200-year flood picture? What is, can you help me with that?
I can't see the picture that you're holding up. So,
well, it's in the package. It's Half Place, Bonair Lake.
We have an inundation map.
You mean it's the AE zone map. Yeah, that's it.
That's the 100-year flood zone. Okay. Yeah, that's zone AE. So it's a studied area. And as you can see on the exhibit, you have structures that are touching and within the 100-year. So we've been getting calls here and there about flood insurance is a big thing too. But the residents on the south end of the lake are lower, so they're the ones that are mostly impacted. So those are the ones that we're trying to help most of all.
And you're saying these folks are paying flood insurance because of this situation?
They would pay high risk. I mean, if you look at the new maps that are out, there you go. You've got several structures that are in, and once you're in, you're considered high risk until you prove you're out. So by lowering the culvert, we hope to lower the BFE, then study this area and submit a LOMA to FEMA so that we can also get them out of flood zone. So there's like a twofold benefit here. One is to provide some flood protection. The other is to get homes out of the flood zone.
So Matt, now this is Tom Gazdecki. Looking at this map, there's a lot more than 22 structures being impacted on this map than the 22 you referenced being removed.
Yeah. Yes.
So I guess I'm a little confused as to what do you need to do to get them all out?
We can't drain the lake entirely, if that's what you're asking. So we're trying to, again, we've got a natural resource here, too, that we have to be mindful of. So,
this map shows more like 40 structures or 50 that are impacted.
There's a lot more over there, right?
20.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt, this is Sean with Butler Fairman. I can probably help a little bit with that. We were the ones that did the design on that front. Just as in the middle, Dale, that came up in the first presentation that was given, this was part of the overall master plan. And to see the full benefit in this area, the master plan would probably need to be completed to get almost all these homes out. This little culvert will get about, I think we referenced about 20 or 22 structures or close to that, depending on how everything finishes out of the high-risk insurance item that Matt had mentioned.
And so if these 22 structures that we can remove if we do this, how much water are they getting in their home? Is it inconveniencing them getting to their driveway, or is it actually coming into their house?
I'm not sure the history, Matt. I don't know if you know that.
The most of it's coming through the backyards and encroaching on the property that way. It's not coming into the driveways on most of them.
Is it getting into their living space?
On some of them, we have received calls about backups into the homes. Yes.
Matt.
Sure.
Is that the area of, let's say, Taney and Taft, like 5700, 1600 block? Is that the area?
67, I think, Dave, further south.
Yeah, like 67th and
Taft. Yeah, 58th is to the north of this intersection, right. North of this culvert, and I'm not sure what I think is 59th to the south, I believe.
What's the north-south running road on the left side, right by this, looks like a parking lot or something?
Roosevelt?
North-south running roads. There's one far left and then one sort of left.
That one is near the school. I think that's the entrance to the school. 60th Drive is the one to the south there, where you can see the flood area over the road there.
Okay. Any other questions with regards to this? Be there none. What do you want to do? Jody, can you unmute all the commissioners in case one of them wants to say something?
Yes, this is Ron. I guess if this is part of their overhaul comprehensive plan and it's one more piece of that puzzle, and if you think this construction will be getting started this year, it's one more thing that you like to say, build boots on the ground for not a big, great investment. The match is what, 50% match. I'm comfortable with making a motion to proceed.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Well, first thing I'm going to point out, and Dan, and you've checked this off the box as far as any other of the studies and whatnot as it relates to things we've done in the past before we had any money. You're muted.
It was not in the initial study done by the when we had it done back in 13 or 14.
Okay.
Comprehensive watershed plan did not include this.
Right. And Danny, it went through the advisory board?
That's correct.
And what did they have to say?
They said it was fine so long as it passed the drainage board. And from what Thomas had mentioned, that they had that meeting today, so it must have been approved. So that was the only contingency that they had a problem with.
I mean, any other discussion? I mean, there's obviously some issues here, but, you know, we've had numerous conversations further south in the watershed, though, having to do with these subdivisions, but I don't know if this falls under that banner or not. Okay, there's a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Thomas Linsky.
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki?
Yes.
Anthony Broadnicks?
Yes.
Derek Nimitz?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ochi?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Bates?
Yes. All right, folks, good luck. Please keep us up to date. And Mr. Lake, when they come and interview you guys again for this next update, there's a cool map of how you break up the town into different quadrants and have them named. Could you make sure you share that with us so we can all speak from the same song sheet, please?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, next up is the town of Dyer. Are those folks here?
Yes, Tom.
All right, great. So we're going to have a presentation on Heart Ditch 2, Stage Ditch. Introduce yourself and what say you?
Thomas Burke with Christopher Burke Engineering, representing the town of Dyer and the Lake County Surveyor's Office, made a submittal for requesting funding for a 2-stage ditch project. This all comes back to the flooding that happened in 2007, where a lot of areas flooded. We show the Heart Ditch in the blue line behind St. Margaret Mercy Hospital, now called Franciscan Dyer. Again, it happened in 2008, where they flooded, many residents flooded. Since that time, we did a study on behalf of the town and on behalf of the surveyor's office, looking at the 36 square miles of drainage area that comes in from Illinois into Indiana, into Heart Ditch, up eventually to the Little Calumet River. And we've looked at, as on behalf of you guys, we looked at trying to do a reservoir at Longwood, and we looked at trying to work with the Will County Forest Reserve District by creating storage in this northeastern quadrant of their county. And what we found was that we could not get enough storage to have significant impacts downstream and carry them down through Munster. It was a very expensive project, but it did not have the benefits. In the meantime, the town has done projects that they can to protect themselves from the flooding. They've built a flood wall along Barron's Manali, pump station, storage. The hospital has built a flood wall around their facility and trying to do it as much as they can. There's a opportunity here to do a 2-stage ditch, which will provide more storage and provide some water quality benefits. The timing, it works well because right now, the county is replacing Hart Street Bridge over Heart Ditch. So here's the hospital to the left, and the town hall is right around here. So right where Hart Street is being replaced, the county had acquired three properties shown in green, and we would like to get three more properties on the west side of Hart Street and one property on the east side of Hart Street to make this 2-stage ditch as best we can. This was the picture of what the 2-stage ditch would look like. So here's Hart Street, where they're replacing the bridge. We just finished a project through the surveyor's office at the southwest corner, where we did some stabilization. This project would be on the north side of Hart Ditch that is west of Dyer and create a storage area. The important part is if you go back to the flood wall that the hospital completed right here, it still leaves a gap where water can go around, and they've had to temporarily close it off. It's a regional hospital serving many people. This project would take that flood wall that ends right here and wrap it around to the bridge and keep the flood protection while protecting the hospital. The flood wall will continue, and it would continue along the east side of Hart Street, and it would be a large open area while having a ditch here, additional storage area here. If we look at the cross section through the ditch where this line is shown right here, it would look like this. The top cross-section is what ditch looks like right now. You have come down, you have the ditch, you come back up. With our proposed plan on the south side, you would create this storage down here and this large storage area on the north. We'd also do toe protection of the ditch and have this 2-stage where the low flow would stay down here. During higher flows, it could flood the upper area. What we're creating is additional storage. We got the details if needed about the stabilization, how we're doing it with the toes, doing lifts, making sure we have proper vegetated erosion protection, using reinforcement mats.
And really what it comes down to is we have some flood protection in this area around the hospital, around the residents. When we get to Barron's Vinaldi, there's 0.1, 0.2 feet. But when you're at Hart Street itself, where they're replacing the bridge, you have almost a foot of protection from the 10-year to the 100-year elevation, about a foot. It drops off to zero by the time you get to US 30. So it is localized storage, but it is the benefit of doing a two-stage ditch in this area. This is somewhat unique in the fact that there are many different partners. There's the town of Dyer that's looking to do online flood storage, the surveyor's office, which is in charge of the legal drain, the highway department, which is doing the bridge projects. We were able to submit and get a $100,000 grant from Lake Michigan Coastal Program for this, $100,000 from them. The hospital is ultimately very interested in what the ditch is doing and how it could flood them as it has twice in the past. And then we were looking to ask the Little Calumet River Basin to join in. Total project cost is $3.1 million. Our ditch has had a number of problems. The surveyor's office has been working on it many, many years, and you guys had a study done on Hart Ditch to look at it. The study done by Sivash Bake and Bob Barr, and really one of the recommendations of the Hart Ditch study was to construct a geomorphic bench at the bankful stage and laying back the banks. And that's exactly what we're doing here, is taking one of the recommendations from the study and proposing that through this stretch where we can lay back the banks. As you know, Hart Ditch through most of Dyer and Munster as homes right up to the edge, and we're constantly fighting it. As Dan and I were out at site yesterday looking at erosion. But this would take into account the recommendation of that study and put it in the ground. The benefits from the project, in addition to the water quantity, which means the reduction of elevations, is there also a lot of water quality benefits that we have written here. There's environmental benefits as well as educational. We have schools right around here where this can become a very visible project, an educational tool, and we would post a lot of signs and educational information about it. There's a pedestrian bridge at the downstream end of this project that's used and can have additional signs. Overall, we're looking at 3.1 million projects. When the application was made last October, it was 3.9 million. It's been reduced a little bit in scope on the north side because of some improvements the town had made, as well as we've tried to look at most cost-effective way of doing it. The county has already, Lake County Highway Department has already purchased two homes, so we took those out of the cost. We have a $100,000 DNR grant. We're requesting $1.2 million from the hospital and another $1.2 million from the Little Calumet River Basin, leaving about $500,000 in addition to what the county and the town has already spent on doing the study. And that concludes my presentation.
Okay, let's bring it back to the board. Gentlemen, what say you?
Over a period of time, Tom, what period of time do you anticipate from implementation to completion, over X number of years, or what's your time frame?
So we have it broken down into three possible phases. But we would like to do the entire thing at once. I think it's something that if we would about a 6 month, 4 to 6 month construction period to do it. But if the money is available, the desire is to get it done.
What's your earliest start date, latest start date?
Earliest start date would be this fall. Latest start date would be, we would ask for an extension of the $100,000 grant and start in the spring.
See, you had a few.
Next year.
Okay, I see you had a few to be determined on your presentation. I don't recall who those were off the top of my head. Who were those?
Those were the town of Dyer and Lake County Surveyor's Office that have funded the study and the applications to the different entities where we've sold out a lot of grants out, and we were successful with just the one for $100,000. And I just don't have, they have to agree how to split the additional $500,000.
Your question from us, design, construction, administration, what requests for us?
It'd be the construction cost, the portion 1.2 of the $3.1 million construction cost.
Thomas, where are you at with the design at this point?
We have a I call it a little more than conceptual design. You know, we have rock veins in there. We have ripple pools. We don't have design plans done. We have not moved forward without the funding to go into design.
Mr. Burke, what kind of impact will this have with regards to the raging rapids of Hart Ditch as you get further north?
As the one slide showed, the elevations won't change when you're north of Hart Street. So by the time you get, you know, through Dyer at zero, what doesn't have an effect further downstream. It's a localized benefit where you're doing the two-stage ditch.
So how come Dyer doesn't have more involvement in such a huge number for such a localized project?
Well, I would say that they have been paying for, the study's been done, they'd have to pay for the design plans. It was a request that was made.
Do you have what I didn't get a chance to look at. Do you have an itemized cost for what the design plan actually was?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question.
What was the design? What was the budget for design?
We do not have a design cost, but I mean, typically if you look at, if it's a $3.1 million, you're probably looking at a $200,000, $250,000 design.
Why are you not asking for a design cost just to see what this is going to be? Without that design cost, how do you know what the final project cost is going to be?
Well, we've got a good idea what the design cost, what the construction cost will be based on all the stabilization projects we've done for the surveyor's office throughout the years, and having done worked on some other two-stage ditch projects, we have a very good idea of what the construction cost will be. We know it's earth moving. It's about you're removing a certain amount of earth, hauling that away, bringing in the protection, and we know what a lot of those costs are.
So is this a priority, Mr. Burke, as it relates to the town of Dyer with regards to all the other issues in Hart Ditch that they have in that community? Why is this so high priority? Just because of the dollars coming from the hospital?
It's the town, ever since they completed the Barons Minaldi project and the hospital completed their flood wall, they have been looking to place storage where they can have a benefit, not by just by building a storage somewhere along the river that doesn't provide any benefit. They've been looking for a location. We've done numerous studies for the town trying to look at different locations where a storage benefit could be had. This got put on hold when we were looking at Longwood Golf Course, thinking, well, that's really where we can get the most benefit for the dollars. We should do that. So once that kind of became not as significant anymore, that's what this has become a significant item for them.
So can we, this is Tom Gazdecki, can you clarify, does the project provide 26.9 acre feet of storage or 16?
It's 16 acre feet of storage.
So the application is incorrect? I have
correct. The application, since October, it's been updated, just like the cost in the application, $3.9 million, it's come down to $3.1
million. Right, and you indicated you guys have a strong sense of what the cost is, 22% contingency into your budget, worth $386,000. I mean, and I don't think that the river basins in acquisition of purchasing of homes in a municipality that only benefits that immediate area. So, I mean, I'm looking at this as maybe $2 million of true work, not 3.1. I just have a little bit of heartache knowing it has no impact beyond, you know, north of 30. You got 16 houses and 16 acre feet. That's 100, you know, that's a lot of money. $1.2 million is a lot of money for a benefit of a minimal benefit, as I'm looking at it.
And I obviously don't disagree that it's a lot of money. I just think it's, if we're going to start doing the two-stage ditches, or where we can, and provide, if provides a lot more benefit than just stabilizing the banks, which we've been doing on Hart Ditch, and tending to push the problem further downstream, which we've seen when we've done the canoe trips. I think this is a good opportunity to show what can be done where we have the more open area to do it. And it is and more expensive sense, than just putting riprap.
Yeah, well, that makes sense, but that's because nowhere else on Hart Ditch do we have the opportunity to do a two-stage because there's houses on it everywhere, that's all. So, I'm leaning towards where Tom is on this one because there's no benefit outside of this small little area, and I'm just struggling with that component of this for a lot of money.
Mr. Chairman, I have one additional question, too. You talked about hospital, maybe I missed the detail, Mr. Burke. Is the hospital committed for the 1.2, or are you going to request that?
We're requesting that.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Gazdecki, are you suggesting that where they've got this detailed sheet where they came up with the total dollars to eliminate?
Yeah, I'm looking at the application.
To eliminate the house, all these house acquisitions and demolition of the houses and land, and strictly look at cost of construction only.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we did for the city of Hammond. They came at, for that CSO project.
Correct.
Very large number of acquisitions, and we, basically indicated to them that it wasn't really our business, but we would help them with the cost of construction. And I feel that I would be willing to, even though I think it's exorbitant, at almost $100,000 an acre foot, what is the total watershed? How many acres are we talking about here improving? Not the runoff area, the actual construction area, how many acres does that encompass?
I don't know what the actually construction area acres or the benefit area.
Yes,
acres.
Sir. Well, the benefit is minimal to North County, north to Hart Street, zero. Mm-hmm. Acres correct, is the construction site.
The construction site's minimal. I mean, it's maybe, I guess, on the north side and south side, maybe 2 acres. But there's a large area south of the bank that's Pheasant Hills that overtops, frequently has to be sandbagged, or there are a number of homes that get water whenever time it overtops that would be benefited.
But you guys are saying 16 houses are the only thing that benefit. Number of houses or businesses that flood, how many will be impacted? 16.
Well, if you count the hospital, I don't know. The dollar amount for the hospital is certainly pretty significant.
Well, then they should be forking over a majority of the cash for this.
And I'm looking at, 1.2 just for the demolition and acquisition of the real estate out of this number?
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
Mr. Burke? According to the most recent data.
Yeah.
Maybe it would help if we had a new, since this has all been modified and changed, and the actual
1.2 on a real estate deal, right?
I mean, if you wanted 1.2 and the cost was 3.9 and now the cost is 3.1, why do you still want 1.2? Since we should have that be proportionately lower.
It's just an ask. I mean, we could, do whatever.
Right. It's an ask. We haven't changed the ask of the hospital either, and it's an ask.
Well, I understand, but before you were asking us to provide, 1.2 out of 3.9, and hospital, so between the hospital 2.4 out of 3.9, you're asking them to cover 62%, and now you're telling me I need to come up with 2.4 by 3.1, you're telling me I got to come up with 77%, between us and the hospital.
And we don't have to do an action here. We could ask for additional information. We could say yes. We could say no. We could defer. So, they're just looking for a little bit of guidance, and, it's an ask.
I'm pretty clear about what I feel about it right now.
I think that this sheet that they have all this detail stuff where they go through the houses and the acquisition, that stuff should be completely separate from any kind of construction.
Are we effectively saying, without making a definitive call, maybe to revise the ask, sharpen the pencil, if you will? Is that kind of what we're saying?
I would
be a lot more comfortable if they
revise the application to reflect the dollars that are going to be
16 acre feet construction.
I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but we've got things that need to be dialed in here.
All right, Mr. Wicklund, does this require a vote, or is this something that is just informational? Or Dan?
I would suggest a motion to defer if you're going to take no action, or you can, there's three alternatives. One could be proceed, give them the money. Number two, give them nothing. Number three, defer. It sounds to me like to defer it for further study is the most appropriate approach.
Make a motion to do anything. That's the real question, right?
Well, at this point, I think Thomas is just presenting what they've got here, and we've presented what our feelings are. And my suggestion, and take it for what it's worth, is he goes back, revises this a little bit, and then comes back to us again.
Is that a motion?
I think the point is I don't think
you need to make a motion at all. I just
think Levine was
taking all this under advisement.
You could do that. That would be likewise appropriate.
Okay, so who's making that decision, Mr. Wicklund? Me?
Well, if
there's no motion, then we're just all sitting here looking at each other like I'm on TV.
If the intent is to take no action, you do not need a motion. You do not need an absolute motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we go ahead and defer this to the next meeting.
Thank you. Motion and a second. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, yes, I don't know about to the next meeting, but that we just defer it. And if they revise it, when they revise it, then we get to it.
Yeah. So we have a motion, though, to move it to the next meeting.
Let me go ahead and revise my motion per the comment that Mr. Whitaker just made. A motion to just go ahead and defer this and to a later date.
All right, there's an amended motion. Is there a second to the amended
second
motion? And a second. Is there any discussion on this? Either or none, Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Ruschlinski.
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki.
Yes.
Anthony Broadnix.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ochi.
Yes.
Levon Whitaker. William Baker.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Burke.
Mr. Baker?
Yes, sir.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
I think maybe we give Mr. Burke just a little bit of direction so he knows that, it's not that we're kicking the can down the road. There just needs to be some work done to this.
Okay.
Understood.
That's it? Mr. Berg, any questions?
No, appreciate your time tonight. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, that completes the presentations of the watershed applications. Moving down the agenda, let's go back to the finance report and the approval of claims for June 2020.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the claims for June 2020 in the amount of $274,043.03.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Mr. Repay? What was there, like a pandemic going on that you didn't spend any money?
We're spending money. But there is a pandemic or something, but it depends on who you listen to. Anyways, we'll go through some of these claims, and if there's any questions, we will be happy to address them. Largest one, 67,767 for Lake Station Levy for Patrick. The bid documents should be out later this week for a bid opening on the 15th of July. Thank you, Ron, for correcting me. I'm so used to the second week. Christopher Burke, $13,330 for the Longwood Flood Control Feasibility Study, $41,548.50 for Hassey Construction. They're the ones doing the cleaning of the culverts underneath Georgia as well as the expressway, and that was documented in my report. Great Lakes Electrical Maintenance, $17,653, very high bill this time, but remember we had two rain events. Every time those pumps go into high temp or high levels, they need to be addressed. We get alerted on those, and so what they had to do is each time we wanted to make sure we went out there and addressed to make sure they were running properly, and they were. Lake County Surveyor reimbursement for $26,758.08. That's for the stabilization project that we're under. That's, we have committed $1 million to that project, and so this is the first draw on it. Northern Indiana Mechanical, we talked about it a little bit in work study session. They were working specifically on pumping down Georgia Street and trying to correct that problem to get that road open after the second rain event. That was the one that occurred right before Memorial Day. So it was important that we get it open as quick as we can, and certainly wanted it open before the long weekend, and we did do that. Just to address both of those issues, two very dynamic events. The first one being the 17th, I believe, where 4 inches of rain fell in about 45 minutes in Gary, 3 point some fell in Hammond. That caused a lot of backups in basements. We are not responsible, as you know, for the basement backups, but the system worked efficiently. None of our pumps failed us, thankfully, and all the water that we had, we dealt with. We had no issues, but for some issue with overtopping of the road on the Georgia side, as well as Calhoun, which had to be closed for a period of time, but we had to get them back open. Garcia, as you see in one of the claims, it was under General Services. They assisted GSD at one point during the Memorial Day weekend to get a issue of backflow. They were experiencing some flow into their pump station near Ironwood. It had stopped raining by that time. So we had Garcia go out there and work some of the gates to see if we could help them address their problem so no residents would be flooded. So they had a lot of overtime. So amongst all the folks we had was Glem, Northern Indiana Mechanical, and Garcia all helping us tremendously, you know, get through those two large events that we had. So we're still seeing some situations. We're clearing out some of the blockage, some of the trees that had fallen. Some of them are a little bit more trickier than others to get to. But we should have that hopefully by next week, it all cleared out from all the downed trees that are blocking some of the roadways. And we have some by the Indianapolis Boulevard, we have some off of Columbia, off of Northcott, mainly in that segment because it's so narrow. It seems like when the trees fall, it's really difficult to block, but everything else is up and running properly. And then let's see if I can go over. Did I miss any? And then, that's really it. We have a little bit higher NIPSCO bills than normal, just because, as you know, the pump stations run. And then Abrahamson, Reed, and Bills is dealing with us as far as acquiring properties that were on tax sale. So with that, I could answer any questions if you have anything in particular that I didn't talk about or you want to know more information about.
Gentlemen, questions about paying the bills?
Sure, I have a few questions.
Sure.
What did I saw that Pangier had to repair holes in the levee wall, sheet piling. Who makes holes in it? How do they get holes?
Yeah. Ron had taught me what they're called, but they're when the core was hanging those sheet pile walls initially before they pounded them into the ground, they left the holes that basically carried them to the location. So what's the official word, Ron? I forgot what it was.
Those are the rigging holes for the sheet piling when they sheet piling in place.
So during the inspection process, they had identified those in Gary. We had fixed those last year. Before the Highland inspection, we noticed some more when we went through the inspection report, and Highland had some, so we had Pangaea go out and fix those. So we're just basically covering them up and sealing them so that there is no void.
Okay, and the second thing is, does Burke have any more cost expenditures for Longwood?
No, because I think we've shut them down. I mean, not shut them down in a bad sense, but I think we've seen what the outcome is, and he alluded to it in his presentation that the cost benefit just wasn't there.
Thank you. That's all I have.
And just to go back to the rain event, just so you can have an understanding really quick, is that at one point during that last one, the last large rain event, we had Holman Avenue was closed. Columbia Avenue was closed because of a down power line. Northcott should have been closed. So in order, and by the way, Cayman Avenue was completely jam-packed with all the gridlock. So we left Northcott closed with security. So in order for, if an ambulance had to make it to community hospital, it could from Hammond. Otherwise, we would have locked all of the traffic from getting to community hospital for anyone in South Hammond to get there. So we had that fund expense as well. Just we had planned for this in our previous O&M meetings, but we never had Columbia and Holman closed at the same time. We had Northcott closed, but not Columbia. So one of those things you learn along the way. And by the way, at this point, Munster staff and Hammond staff were fully involved, and they really had no resources available for us because they were dealing with water in basements and floating cars in streets.
Mm-hmm. Is that who Roger Cardwell and Robert Repay are?
That would be correct. So I had to find two people with lights on their cars that could make it over there while I was dealing with other issues in Griffith and Gary.
So these are adults?
They are adults. Sometimes they don't act like it, but they are adults.
I have to ask Robert Repay.
What's that?
Any relation?
Unfortunately, yeah, it's my brother. He is a police officer.
Oh, so both these gentlemen were police officers?
That's correct.
Okay.
We called Hammond Traffic, and they had nobody because they had power out. So I decided that I know one person's cell phone, and they could get it a car over there to stop the people from crossing over, because it had reached the 597 level, which was the threshold for us closing. Hammond Public Works was completely booked with issues.
Were they in their squad cars and we're just paying them for their time?
Oh yeah, they were in their squad cars, full uniform. Because what we needed to do was make sure traffic wasn't going over and allow for any emergency vehicles to do it. Otherwise, if we would have closed down Northcott, we would have had closed Columbia, we would have had closed Holman, and Cayman Avenue was a parking lot.
Let's get into that with your executive director's report. Let's take care of the bills. Is there any other questions on the bills?
One other quick one, Kelton Aaron, that looks like a small bill for mulching and trimming, Burr and Grant. Is that a little minority? Is that a minority business?
Oh, Kelton. Yeah, Kelton Aaron is a local gentleman that cuts the grass around the Burr Street pump station.
Okay. Cool. Thanks.
Yep.
Okay. Any other questions on the bills? All right. We got a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Ruslinski.
Yes.
Tom Gosdecky?
Yes.
Anthony Broadnick?
Yes.
Derek Nimitz?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ochi?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes, ma'am. Moving right along, project tracker slash executive director's report. So go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I'll just go to the report. I talked about the rain event along with the finance. If someone has additional questions or wants to know more information, I'd be happy to talk about it. We've talked about the stabilization projects. The one in Independence Park is going well and should be closed. We're looking to extend the Twin Creek Park West one, and then the 45th Street and Camellia is still on hold because of AT&T needs to relocate a line that's in the way. The inspections have all gone on except for Hammond and Munster. And we've talked about those will be going on the 6th and the 8th of July with Highland doing the 14th. We just finished our second cycle of levee mowing. We're probably going to do 5 this year. I could only imagine with the amount of rain that we're getting, how fast that's growing. Later in the meeting, we're going to talk about the Burr Street permanent closure. And I mean, Jody has a picture that so that you guys can see what it looks like, or if you guys haven't, it's the one with the big aluminum bar that gets recycled on occasion. So we had a Zoom meeting with the folks out of Norfolk and Southern, out of Atlanta, along with the Corps, and we came up with what we believe would be agreeable to all parties. And so that's what we're going forward with, and that's what's going to be later on the meeting with Splowicki and Lopez, that they're going to design that for us, which isn't very much, but it is going to be done. Hard ditch correction, Wicker Park, that's scheduled to be opened a bid for the our meeting in July. The Lake Station levee project also will be done in July open, so those documents will be out for anyone interested in bidding on it. Property acquisition, we talked about both School City and Griffith, all should be taken care of by the end of this month. And then Marshalltown levee with Gary up is going along. We had to delay because of high water. That's same with a couple with the culvert cleaning on George as well. So Hasse is going well on it. And when that opens, you'll be able to go through the culvert that's I think 8 feet in diameter and 540 feet underneath the expressway. So anyone interested in taking a nice view of that, they're more than welcome to. But other than that, that's going to be the report that I have that's here now. So I'll take questions or.
Let me start, Dan. What about the project manager? Did you hit that?
I'm going to once I'm not quite as organized as I am in front of a normal meeting. So. Yeah.
Okay, and then are they taking video of going underneath the expressway with the culverts, Hasse?
Yeah, that's a part of the standard what we've asked them to do, because we have to show it to NDOT so that they know that their expressway is in good order.
Thank you.
So.
You mentioned everybody did real well in helping us out during all of those rain events. I mean, where was the primary focus? I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on everywhere.
Well, I mean, for us, we had the immediate impact was the typical Kennedy to state line, because that's where the first system really hit. It wasn't a system wide where it really hurt, you know, Will County. It really sort of ran up the line. It may have hit Dyer, but it wasn't one of those just sitting on top of the whole entire area where you'll see a disparity from south to north, where south may have gotten, you know, inch and a half, and the northern part of the watershed was getting the 3 inches. So if that would have happened system wide, we would have had more trouble. But this was, it was almost like a flash that happened, and it jumped really quick. It held, but we had a lot of power outages. And the problem was we didn't have the people power, because the public works was occupied for both, entities. And what you'll find is just a situation where in Munster and Highland, both, you've got folks that are on the fire department, and they're on public works. So, you know, they have to share their time. And so if they're dealing with a down power line, then you have less people in public works to do any help for you. So it's something that you sort of, it's something we will address going forward, but we were sort of scrambling for people just to be able to close off just for traffic purposes, some of these roads.
Hey, Dan, I got a few things. Any update on the sandbar permits?
No, I don't have anything additionally. I've asked Mr. Garcia to provide that. He has been a great help for me for the last couple of weeks for these large rain events. So he's been dealing with mainly that. I know he's put it in. At least my understanding is he put it in. I don't have an update on it, though. I apologize.
That's all right. And then Lake Station, they switched gears. Any update on their stormwater management dossiers?
On the cities themselves, stormwater management?
Yeah, they were going to put together a thing, and then they had a problem with that engineer, and they switched gears.
Right. My understanding is the new engineer has retrieved material from the old engineer, and they're still trying to go through what they have and what they haven't completed. So we don't have a new ask for them to complete their stormwater management plan.
My last question is looking at your tracker. The county is done with this Hermit's Lake. Is there a reason why they haven't billed us final for it?
No, we've asked them to bill us. Generally, when you ask, I mean, usually it's difficult to get paid by people, but we've asked them. I don't know if it's a clerical thing because they're closed. You know, their offices have been closed and how they get that through the system, but we know they're complete. They said they were sending us their bill. We just haven't seen the bill.
How much is that, Tom?
It's like 50 some grand.
Really? Maybe we should just move it to Hart Ditch.
There's part of the issue right there, right?
Well, we'll see if they'll agree to that.
Yeah. I'll see what Ms. Commissioner Tippy says about that one. Actually, I had one more question, Dan, with regards to we had talked about the weed control issue, and we were going to do a pilot area.
Yeah.
Did you do anything with that?
The gentleman that took that was taking the lead for AES on that took a different job up in Wisconsin. So they had to bring in a new person to start that up again.
Okay.
He left the company. But we haven't expended any dollars either.
Yeah, I know what driving around these cattails are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. A couple weeks ago with the non-control burn there in Highland.
Yeah, we haven't received an official word on what that was. I know it wasn't a part of the Autobahn's work. The initial unofficial finding was they believe it was a cigarette that was thrown out of a car.
Makes sense. And
that's when it went. So that was Memorial Day Saturday, I believe.
Mm-hmm. All I got.
You brought up Audubon, Dan. Have they provided you any updates as far as what they're doing and how that's moving along?
The last one that was provided, and I believe it was February, was what you guys saw, and that was, I believe, the bill that was for $50,000 or so, and they had that large administrative component to it. But they, by the contract, have to give us an update every 6 months, so that 6 months should, I believe, is July of this year. Without it being in front of me, I would tell you that's what I have a
record. Well, just maybe between you and Jody, just make that a note on the calendar to reach out to them and make sure we're looking for that. I'd like to see one in July for sure, so we could have at least some update before it starts to snow again.
I will note it.
All right, gentlemen, anything else for Mr. Repay? All right, moving right along. By the way, extend our appreciation to everybody that helped you and Jody included with regards to everything that happened during all of that rain, because that was not fun at all.
Yeah, that was – I've got some good video. I should post it. I was at a meeting out in Gary when I took it. I was underneath the canopy at the truck stop, so it was interesting.
Yeah. One way to describe it.
Yeah.
All right. Next up is other issues and new business.
Mr. Chair, I would like to make a motion to approve an agreement with Zipalicki Lopez LLC for design of the Bird Street flood control permanent closures under Norfolk Southern Railway track in an amount not to exceed $24,880.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repay.
Yeah, the reason why we chose Splawicki and Lopez are their dealings with the railroad. Jody, can you put up, I'm going to put you on the spot, that the closure so I can show everyone that maybe not or have some idea? So the right side picture is the picture that you'll see Burr Street on your far right. But this is a typical, we have two of these. This is just one that I took, and this is on the west side of Burr Street. You see the sheet pile wall, and then you see the cement casing, and then the graffitied aluminum panel. Under our guidelines and the way it was designed by the Corps, at a level of 12 and a half feet or so, we're supposed to take that gate and slide it underneath the railroad. And you can see on the left picture, you know, a very similar structure on how it's supposed to match up. Now, you can only imagine how difficult and, well, not possible that is under extreme circumstances. Not to mention that gate gets recycled probably every 6 months at about $4,000 a piece. So what we've asked is that the railroad allow us to permanently put that in place so we will no longer have to deal with it. It will be a permanent closure. So no longer human intervention will be needed under extreme rain events. So that's about the easiest way I can do it. Now, Splawicki and Lopez will design it. The railroad, because of just all the intricacies dealing with the railroad, they will be the ones that will install it in the rail line, and we'll just pay them to install it because of all the flagging that needs to take place and all the coordination of shutting down a rail line, probably in one of the busier corridors in the United States.
Holy cow. All right, are you done? I can't see you, so.
Yeah, I'm done, sorry.
How many other locations like that, with that design, do we have along the system?
There's this one, so we would complete two of them. There's one that you see there, that's the one on the west side of Burr Street. There's one further down on east of Burr Street between Burr and Clark, so that's two of them. And then the only other railroad closure, and the people that have been on this board long enough will remember this one, is the one off of Kennedy Avenue behind the visitor center, where it's a 2-ton beam that we have to crank over the top of it, which is a mess to begin with.
Right.
But nothing that goes underneath the rail lines. The one that was designed over off of Kennedy is over the rail lines.
I know there's multiple rail lines, but my question, I guess, with regards to the one by Optimus Lake, is there any way that can be re-engineered so somebody doesn't have to stand out there in the monsoon and try to crank on that thing?
Well, the fallback position that our communities have decided is they would just sandbag it closed. Okay. You remember, you also can't interfere with interstate commerce, which is a big thing. The rail line will tell you that unless they can no longer see the rail line, they are going to continue to run trains. So you have that conflict. The ultimate correction at that location, if you so chose, is to raise that rail line.
Oh my gosh.
I agree with you, but I'm just telling you that's the option.
Sorry, I thought I was on mute.
Is that out loud?
Sometimes it's okay not to be on. It's okay to have your emotions.
All right. So we're taking care of all but that location as far as the closures at the rails.
Correct. Yep.
Thank you. All right. Anything else, gentlemen? We've got a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Amersinski?
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki?
Yes.
Anthony Broadnix?
Yes.
Derek Nimitz?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Oche?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes, ma'am. Okay, moving right along.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to authorize the executive director to advertise for bids on the Rock Riffle Dam Bridge and Pedestrian Improvement Project on Deep River in Lake Station.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repay.
This is this is the main project for this year for us. That is to redo the dam, fix the dam that is currently in existence there, make it more recreationally more friendly, as well as environmentally friendly, building this rock riffle. In partnership, we would also work to build the bridge, pedestrian bridge, over to the other side of the river to connect it with the Three Rivers process in Lake County Parks. And then they would also build a detention pond where it has formerly been known as the trailer park to store and contain some water before it goes into the river. So this will be all advertised later this week. And I will submit it and give it to you guys, and it'll be on our website. And it'll be opened at our July meeting.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Repay on this motion with the second? Holy cow. All right. 1, 2, 3. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Ryszlinski.
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki.
Yes.
Anthony Broadnix.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware. There you go. Robert Oche.
Yeah, yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes, ma'am. All right, moving right along. Next up, my favorite part, statements to the board from the floor. If you would like to help us with this project, please raise your hand so Mrs. Lambert can see you, and she'll let us know if anybody is interested in speaking. And she'll also be very quick with the count.
We have Mr. Hero, who would like to say something.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad to be recognized. Can you hear me?
Yes.
We've had discussions here in Lake Station, a possible date when the levee would be built, the berm, to protect my home in that. I was just wondering if a date has been set. I had heard that it would be completed in 2020, but with the virus and everything, I don't know if a date like that still exists.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Repay, you're on mute. Or you went to the restroom.
No. Hold on, sorry.
There we go.
Someone came to our door and my dog started barking. I didn't want to get yelled at. So the question is, when's the levee going to start? We're making the levee the second stage of this project because of the infrastructure difficulties that are within Lake Station proper. So the first stage of it is going to be what we just approved, and that's the Rock Riffle Pedestrian Bridge and one detention pond. And there will be some earthwork and some planting done across the street. Mr. Hero lives on Wyoming, one of the houses across the way from the river. So he looks directly at the river. So there'll be some planting and some grading work done, but not a levee just yet.
How long do you think it'll take to build the Riffle Dam, and then to proceed with the levee to protect my home?
Well,
are we talking 6 months, a year?
If we bid it out, and barring any problems, the Riffle and the pedestrian dam and the detention will be complete. I believe the schedule they have that I've seen was November of this year. The levee itself is a little bit more complicated because of the fact that, as you know, the flap gates at 27th and Wyoming are underwater and submerged, and since it's gravity fed, there's a difficult way to get that water out into the systems. That's why it backs up on those residents. So we were working on some plans to maybe store that on some parcels that were located by your house. I think actually you repurchased one of those parcels that we asked for, but that's your decision. We're working to store some water, and we're going to make it work. I don't have a timeline on when that will occur.
Okay. Now, you did mention that I repurchased something.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand what that means. I mean, I did pay the taxes on it.
Right. I mean, for full clarity, I think I told you that I had bought or asked for your property, your father's property, on tax sale that was delinquent. I think it was $12,000. And in that process, you have the opportunity to redeem it. You chose to pay those taxes, which is your choice. Yes. And so that's what you did, and that's fine. We need to find other places to store water. So that's what we're looking to do right now. Because right now the infrastructure in Lake Station cannot support having a levee there without us spending probably $8 to $9 million to build something. And still, according to our engineers, it would not fully protect everybody behind the levee. So.
Okay. Thank you, Dan.
Yep. You're welcome.
Anyone else, Mrs. Lambert?
There is no one else that is asking to speak.
Okay. Going once, going twice. Thank you. I'll go through the commissioners if they have anything to say. Mr. Broadnax?
Nothing to add, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Nimitz?
Nothing to add.
Mr. Gazdecki?
Thank everybody for keeping calm during the events that we've experienced. And, knock on wood, we're lucky that the system is held up. I congratulate Dan and all of his constituents at the local and county level for getting this thing operational, maintained, and in good working order to help alleviate some of the problems we've faced in the past. So I appreciate that.
Thank you. Mr. Ware?
I guess the only thing would be to wish everyone a happy and safe 4th of July and stay safe.
Thank you. Mr. Whitaker?
Great job, I wanted to say, by everyone, and thank you, Jody, for keeping us going here at the same time. I did want to, and I intended to do it while Matt Lake was on the phone. Hopefully, they are putting measures in place as well for minority participation throughout this process. We're given $500,000, and so we certainly want to encourage everyone that we are, partnering with to continue to be open to what our standards are and what the state standards are in terms of minority participation as well. The other thing that I wanted to add is I'd be interested in talking to Moving Dan to take a look over at the Carver School to see what the discussion was that we talked a little bit earlier in terms of storage or elevating whatever's necessary.
Levon, we're hearing every third word, man.
Maybe I need to talk a little bit slower here. I don't know what it is. But hopefully Dan and I can follow up. Look forward to following up one day next week so that we can go back over to Carver School. My other comment was regarding minority participation with the dollars that we are partnering with municipalities and towns. And hopefully they are keeping in mind that we have standards for making sure that the dollars are spent. We got a lot of dollars that come in from throughout Lake County from minorities in our Lake County watershed region. So I wanted to make sure that we are inclusive and sharing that information with our partner and our municipalities. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Wicklund.
Nothing to add.
Mr. Castellanos.
Yes, I'd like to say that I echo LaVon's statement regarding minority business participation. I hope we follow through and looking forward to minority business to participate in all these contracts. Also, say that Dan and I had opportunity to meet with a group of citizens in Marshalltown. They have formed a little group to stop individuals from doing flag dumping at the levee. And we're really impressed with what they're trying to do, and they can use our help. And so on those words, I'd like to wish everybody a good 4th of July and be safe and keep your health. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Wyszlinski.
Wish all those dads out there a happy Father's Day. And I also want to reiterate the fact that our partners did an awesome job during the last rain event to make sure that the system was operating perfectly. And kudos to you, Dan, for making sure that we were out of trouble the whole time. So keep up the good work.
Thank you. Mr. Ochi.
Nothing else to add. Thank you.
Mrs. Lambert.
I'm good.
All right. I know you are. Help us with the date for the next meeting, third Wednesday.
It is the third Wednesday. It was going to be July 15th, 6 p.m.
Okay. Then we're going to try to do it to get together. So obviously watch that. Also, Mrs. Lambert, let's look at going on the road too sometime this summer before it starts snowing. Something maybe that we haven't been before.
Got it.
And we can go from there, and I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
There's a motion. Make a motion, we adjourn.
Adjourn, let's go. Thank you very much. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right.